grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As I mentioned at the beginning of the service today, we are starting a message series based on this book, using this book as an outline for our different sermon texts. And the title of the book is, Who is This Man? The Unpredictable Impact of the Inescapable Jesus. If you're in a small group or you know, take a DVD on the way home today and watch that first episode, the author of this book brings out nicely that Jesus is inescapable. He is a man that just will not go away. No matter what you think about him, you have to think about him, because his impact is present throughout the world. That was the case in our gospel lesson for today as well. It was the Festival of Tabernacles, as Pastor Keel mentioned. It's about this time of year, early October, just before the winter rains start in Israel. It's the last great festival, the Festival of Tabernacles, or Booths, or Sukkot in Hebrew. If you went to Jerusalem, you would see courtyards filled with these booths. And for a week, people would live in these booths to remind them that they were ancestors or descendants of a people that had spent 40 years in the promise, or 40 years wandering in the wilderness, waiting eagerly to get into the promised land. It was also a reminder to them that this world that we have is only temporary, that we only live in tents and booths, and that the eternal home, the eternal promised land, is yet to come. It was on the last day of this great Old Testament festival that Jesus becomes a man who will just not go away for the people in Jerusalem and for the Jewish leaders as well. All kinds of questions are raised about Jesus. When the Christ comes, will he do more signs than this man? How can the Christ come from Galilee? Does not the scripture say that Christ will come from David's line and from Bethlehem? Now, some of the questions that came that day were questions of interest. People had seen some of the miraculous signs that Jesus did. They had seen him heal the sick, feed the hungry, even raise the dead. And when they understood these signs, it made them question, could this possibly be the Savior that God promised in the Old Testament? Some of you may be in that situation today. You are interested in the Savior, but to be honest, you're not really convinced that Jesus is that Savior who can really help you personally. And so there's this question mark. You've seen some miraculous signs, perhaps. And I'm not saying that we've seen miraculous healings like in the New Testament, but perhaps you have seen some of the miracles that God has worked in the hearts of your family members, a spouse or a child or a parent, and you wonder, is there something to this? Could it possibly be that Jesus is the Son of God and the Savior, as my family members, my friends believe? Other people that day had questions about the Christ because they didn't have enough knowledge. They didn't know the backstory that we know from Matthew's gospel and Luke's gospel. John, by the way, just assumes as he writes the gospel that his readers are familiar with Matthew's gospel and Luke's gospel. John never mentions where Jesus is born. He assumes that back knowledge, that people have already had those gospels. John's the last gospel that's written probably 30 years after the others. But the people there in Jerusalem didn't have the back knowledge that you and I have, that Jesus was somebody from Galilee because that's where he grew up, but that he was actually born in Bethlehem. And he did come from David's line in fulfillment of prophecy. There may be some of you here today that have been impacted like this. Jesus has impacted you like this as well. You have questions, not because you're necessarily skeptical. It's just questions because there are some things that you just have never had a chance to really think through. There's a lack of knowledge. And if you are here and you still have questions about Jesus, let me assure you that we're all glad you're here. And it's my prayer that over the course of these next few weeks, we'll have some of those questions answered. Others who interacted with Jesus on that tabernacle festival opposed him. You know, when the Jewish leaders heard about Jesus, they sent the soldiers to arrest him, and the soldiers come back, and they say, "We've never heard anyone talk like that. That's why we didn't bring him back with us." And this is the response of the leaders. You mean he's deceived you also? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed in him? No, but this mob that knows nothing of the law, there is a curse on them. Jesus had an impact on the Jewish leaders that day. And the result was opposition. Not only to the lowly soldiers, but also to one of their own. Nicodemus is one of their own. He's a member of the Sanhedrin. And when Nicodemus simply says, "Hey, shouldn't we at least listen to him and know what he's saying?" They kind of slap their co-worker in the face. They say, "Are you from Galilee too? Look into it. You will not find that a prophet does not come out of Galilee." Some of you may be like those Jewish leaders today. That honestly, you've thought about Jesus and where you've come down is, you know, I don't believe in him. You're here because it's family connection, just the right thing to do. You know, and if that's the case, let me tell you, I'm glad you're here too. Because your skepticism, you know, asks good questions. We want to hear the doubts and the skepticism that you have, because that's what drives us back to find answers. And certainly it's our prayer that opposition will be overcome and that you come to know Jesus too. But we're just glad you're here and willing to listen and be confronted with Jesus again today. And then some in that crowd on the Festival of Tabernacles believed in him. They said, "When the Christ comes, will he perform more signs than this man?" By God's grace, many of us believe in this man who spoke that day in the Festival of Tabernacles. We've seen the signs. We've seen the fulfillment of prophecy. We've seen the miracles that he has performed, not with these eyes, but with the eyes of faith as we read the scriptures. We've gone back to Easter Sunday and listened to the witnesses And the Holy Spirit has used those witnesses to convince us that he rose from the dead on Easter Sunday. And that great sign is what reassures us that this man, Jesus, is more than just a man, that he truly is the Son of God, our Savior, who was willing to come into the world to save sinners. In fact, one of the incredible signs that Jesus shows towards us is throughout his life and throughout the inspired scriptures, we have this message that God welcomes people who fail like us, that he welcomes sinners. He doesn't condone them. He forgives them. And he forgives us. We've seen the sign of the cross. And we believe that he is the man who came to be our Savior, the Son of God. The lesson this Sunday simply brings out that Jesus brings an impact on every person in the world. His impact is inescapable. And the result is the world is divided just as the crowds were divided that day in Jerusalem. We can't ignore him. We have to deal with him one way or the other. And not just us, but the whole world. In fact, what is amazing is that this man, whom we believe in, had this incredible impact. It's unbelievable that the man who died 2,000 years ago suddenly becomes the centerpiece of our calendar. You know, every time we write a date, you make out a check, you date something that you signed, you are testifying to the impact that Jesus has had on the entire world. A.D., Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. Now, at the time that Jesus died, it would have been preposterous that he would be the centerpiece upon which the whole world dates its history. No one would have said on that Saturday between Good Friday and Easter morning, we're going to start dating our calendar from the birth of this man. Normally, when a person dies, your influence starts to diminish. But suddenly, Jesus' influence begins to grow. In Acts chapter 1, we know that 120 disciples were gathered in Jerusalem waiting for Pentecost. But within 300 years, the Christian church has mushroomed to millions of people and becomes the dominant force of the Roman Empire. It becomes the official religion of the Roman Empire in 325 AD. How could that have happened? How could this one man have such a great impact after he dies? Well, that day at the Festival of Tabernacles, Jesus makes a promise that says, I am going to have an impact on this world that is exponential. This is the promise that he makes. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Jesus promises that there will be rivers of water. Now, the significance of this is, remember, he's saying this on the Feast of Tabernacles, when the Israelites are remembering how they wandered in the wilderness and how they thirst for water. Remember, in that wilderness wandering, at the beginning of that 40 years of wandering and near the end, there's no water, and twice God brings water out of a rock. And the Apostle Paul, we heard earlier this year, said that rock was a symbol of Christ. He is the spiritual rock that accompanied them. From that spiritual rock flowed the spiritual water that the Israelites needed. Now Jesus says, I am that Savior God who brought water out of the rock there in the wilderness. And that when he is glorified, when he rises from the dead, he will make everybody who believes in him like that rock in the wilderness. You know, it was just a couple of years ago that I started to really think about the water that came from that rock in the wilderness. You know, you strike the rock and the water comes out. You know, how much water, you know, do you turn like the faucet on? Right? How much water for 2 million people? It's probably more than a faucet, right? It has to be a river of water to water 2 million people in their livestock. Jesus says that you who believe in me, you are sources of rivers of water. Now, this is hard for us to picture. You know, the Greek is actually from your belly. So just imagine rivers of water flowing out of your belly. Now, that's kind of an odd picture, isn't it? But the whole point is, Jesus promised that after he was exalted, that he was going to change people so greatly that the Spirit of God would change people and cause them to continue to have this powerful impact on the world around them, that people would come to know him through the changes that God worked in us. That the river of the water of life not only flows from Jesus, but also flows from us. That we are the source of that river of the water of life. And when you look at the history of the world, you can see the impact of those rivers of the water of life flowing from God's people. Let me give you just one example. Here in Milwaukee, we have a number of different hospitals that are named after saints, right? St. Luke's and St. Joseph's and St. Mary's. Why are so many hospitals called after saints? Why do they have a religious connection to them? It's because Jesus promised that the rivers of the water of life would flow from those who believe in him. That promise was fulfilled. See, how is it that this little group of believers in Jerusalem, 120, become millions of people who believe in Jesus just a few hundred years later? One of the things that church historians point to is how the rivers of the water of life flowed from Christians in this way. In the Roman Empire, it was not unusual for epidemics to strike. And when epidemics struck cities, what would happen is people would flee the cities. And if somebody got sick in your family, you would just throw them out. Let them die on the street with the hope that maybe you would survive. But the Christians, who understood that this is just the tabernacle time, this is just the tent time, that our real home is in heaven, that because Jesus lived and died and rose again, we are going to live forever. Because they had seen Jesus show mercy towards the sick, that the Christians, rather than fleeing the city, cared for the sick. They became the hospitals. And many of them died caring for the sick. But the world around them saw that incredible impact that Jesus had on their lives. And people started to see the signs. And they started to change from opposition to questions to faith. And this is what you and I get to be a part of. You see that in the man that's named in this lesson. You see, there's only two people named in this lesson. There's Jesus and there's Nicodemus. You remember the story of Nicodemus, how in John chapter 3, he comes to Jesus at night and has questions about Jesus. We see how Nicodemus must have been influenced by Jesus' ministry even further, that here in this lesson he kind of sticks his neck out, right? Kind of speaks up a little bit in defense of Jesus. Where's the last time we see Nicodemus? Nicodemus becomes a believer at a time when most people wouldn't believe in him. Nicodemus shows his faith on the night of Jesus' death. He and Joseph of Arimathea bury the Savior who died for him. You see, Jesus impacted Nicodemus. And you and I are now the source of the water of life, just as Jesus was the water of life as he walked on the earth. Nicodemus heard. He drank from that water of life. He found forgiveness and hope even in the face of death. And now we're the source of that rivers of the water of life. And it's my prayer that God would use each one of us to have that kind of influence on the Nicodemuses around us. The people who maybe are opposed to Jesus right now, that they would see how Jesus has changed us, that he has made us compassionate, forgiving, merciful, caring. That those who are opposed become questioners. And those who question become believers. Because Jesus is not going to go away. The one question that really makes all the difference in the world is, do we know who Jesus is? It's my prayer that Jesus would use us to answer that question for the Nicodemuses around us. Amen.